Welcome to Share Talk, the only podcast where investors come first.
Hello and welcome. Today I have an interesting and intriguing interviewee. Obviously, they're normally very interesting and intriguing, but today perhaps more so. Dexter Burt from CipherSense Research. I thought it was going to be an anonymous interview, but apparently he's come out of the closet, and we'll find out how he's doing today. How are you today, Dexter?
Hello, Zach. Yeah, I'm very good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing fine. It's always interesting after, I suppose, 20, 30 years in the market and seeing, you know, people come and go one way or the other. To see new entrants, clearly the brokers around and their research houses and traders and investors, and as I said, they all come and go. But you're a newbie, a new kid on the block, or at least new to me and maybe to other people as well. Maybe you can tell me what CipherSense Research is all about.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for having me, Zach. The whole purpose for CipherSense Research was to establish impartial and objective research for the small cap equity market. So all too often, I found myself browsing through equity research reports that were posting nothing but glowing buy reviews of the stock. But whenever you go and do your own diligence, I was fed up with finding mistakes and the fact that these so-called revered institutions were not finding these mistakes frustrated me, and I thought it was downright outrageous that they weren't picking up on some of these things that they should have been.
But isn't the case that normally these research pieces of research are I was going to say something else then pieces of research are paid for, and obviously you know, you don't bite the hand that feeds you, and you don't insult the hand that feeds you.
Absolutely.
And so far, there hasn't been a way of getting around that issue. Either, you know, maybe you get paid in shares, or you get paid in obviously cash, or you know, whatever. But there's no way of doing it, is there?
No, I think the closest you get to impartial research is on the short side, because those guys have to go out there and make sure they do their homework, because they are subject to pursuit for the courts. So. But then often people find short sellers to be slightly dubious in that they obviously profit when the shares fall. So, you know, I am slightly more of a cynical disposition, so I probably do err on the side of a short seller. But, you know, I have not got the backing or the capital behind me to go and do that. And nor is it profitable at this end of the market. So the small microcap market, there's never enough borrow available to be able to actually profit from short selling.
That's an intriguing point, and it's a subject close to my heart. From what we've seen, and obviously not wanting to name any names, seems to be relatively easy to, as a shorter, manipulate the market in short stocks. You can, you know, you just, I mean, it's let's say it's easier to throw mud at a company on the short side than it is to ramp up a company on the long side. Short, you know, if you have retail investors in there, they'll be scared off by any, you know, even the first sign of anything negative. Obviously, they might take profits, etc., etc. And so, it's much easier to knock a company to say I don't like the CEO's haircut, or I think that's a bit overblown. I mean, actually, if I was somebody put a gun to my head and said, make money in the market, I would actually go around trashing companies. That would be the easiest way of doing things. It would also be something that, you know, you can ramp up shares, and, you know, you get, you know, arrested by the FCA or whatever it is. But on the short side, you can come up with all sorts of defaming comments, insults, you know, say somebody's a liar, a fraudster, etc., etc. And especially if it's not the case, it seems to have a disproportionately negative effect on the share price. So, I mean, I think, as I said, I mean, on the shorting aspect, I call it the shorting conspiracy. That is the place to be, because it's not, you know, you can get jail for insider trading before a bid, but you never get jail for falsely destroying the share price of a company without cause. It just doesn't happen because people don't understand what shorting is, or, you know, the courts wouldn't, and so forth. So therefore, you're scot-free. So the likes of obviously this is your interview, but we'll get onto that. But the likes of Muddy Waters, they who like they're the you know they're the grandfather of the whole area, and that's I'm sort of bringing you in on that front. They can just say, well, I think, you know, BP looks like a fraud, and the shares would go down.
Yeah.
You know, 5-10% the next day. There's no question of it. Yeah. If they said BP's the best thing since sliced bread, it wouldn't go up 5-10%. It would just stay where it is.
Yeah, no, I understand. I completely get that point. I think the only reason companies such as Muddy Waters have been able to get that kind of reputation is because of the meticulous nature of their work. And I think that short sellers can come unstuck if you know you're only as good as your last game. And I think if they had one bad report, they would lose a lot of respect. I think it's all in the research, and you've got to review those pieces of research very meticulously and be very careful what you're acting upon. And you know, very often, short sellers do follow very thorough processes to unearth these issues and bring them to market. And I think they do. There is a place for them. I do understand your point.
I think my point is easier to smear than it is to ramp.
Yes. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, especially at the lower end of the market. Absolutely.
So I mean, so, yeah, so my, how my do you, so how do you fit into this? How do you think you'll fit into this?
My hope was that my research would be able to be purchased by retail investors. So, just your everyday private investor who wants to have impartial, objective research that is free from bias, that is not incentivized by any compensation either side of the long or short story, and has gone out and done a bit of diligence and found something of value for private investors. The issue is monetizing that is fairly difficult, given that small cap stock have quite a large spread anyway, as it is, to then go and put more capital into research probably erodes another load of gains that you're possibly not going to get anyway. So it's a difficult one to monetize, and I think based on the reaction of my report, you know, I think I've had hundreds of people download it, most of which are actually investment professionals, hedge fund managers, which took me by a bit of surprise, really. So I think the way I probably will monetize it would be moving towards that side of the market and providing my research to those people who can perhaps afford it if I wanted to pursue it full time.
Well, I mean, how would it work? I mean, would it be, you know, I'd call you up and say, Dexter, I think that Boohoo looks like a bargain at the moment. You'd look at it and say, actually, it does or it doesn't. Is that how it would work, or is it something more sophisticated than that?
Yeah, I think that would be the essence, but I think it's a bit more of a drawn out process, and it takes, the work that went into Leaksoft was, you know, that was a 6-month endeavor, and that involves, you know, interviews with ex members of staff and partners, suppliers, customers, the whole shebang, and that kind of work, it takes time.
And how can you possibly get paid enough to, you know, justify all that sort of knocking on doors and pounding the pavement and everything else?
I'll figure that part out later.
Right. So, I mean, one of the things we know about, you know, the city and the whole area, it is a, you know, it's still an old boys network. And I would say old boys network because, you know, it really is an old boys network. Apologies to everyone else. And so, you know, it's a club, and basically anyone who doesn't toe the line is laughed at, insulted, sent to Coventry, this, that, and everything else. Presumably, or, you know, wants to sort of change the game at all. Are you happy going into that kind of corner? You know, the bad person's corner.
Yeah, I think I'm not doing this to make friends. If I was, I wouldn't be putting stuff like I have out there. And the whole purpose is, for me, is morality and seeing justice in financial markets. And I think this whole point of your point about the old boys club is so prevalent and pervasive across the markets that it needs addressing and rebalancing, and people just need to be more comfortable with saying and challenging things where they don't quite look right, rather than just accepting these reports and these annual accounts that are signed off by auditors who have signed off accounts of companies like Wirecard. You know, these accounts have to be read with cynicism and cannot be taken at face value. So, you know, this is a morality play as much as it is a profit.
But saying that, I think the cynic, and let's look at the final aspect to touch upon. You know, your analysis, your research, let's say from I'm just the bare bones I've happened to see, seems to be, you know, quite rigorous and you know, up to the mark and everything else. But the point is, somebody might just say, well, if you're that good at analyzing, researching, why didn't you just trade yourself and make millions behind closed doors? I mean, I know quite a lot of people who are on Twitter who just say, when, I mean, they tweet out when they buy and they sell, and obviously they tweet out when it goes right and maybe not when it goes wrong. But I do know I do know at least a handful of people who I believe are genuinely making, you know, 5-6 figure sums and doing very well because they are, you know, they're the Roger Federer, whatever they're doing, they are brilliant people. If your work is up to scratch, you can just, you know, you can buy your BP and sell your Shell and do whatever other trading and investing and make much more money without the stress than going on this crusade. And obviously there are a lot of people out there, I've seen, you know, the commentators on social media who put themselves up as being moral crusaders. You sound to me as though you're the real deal, but obviously a lot of fake moral crusaders out there who are just trying to, you know, exploit people's fears, et cetera, et cetera. What's your answer to that sort of, you know, if you're that good, just do it yourself and have a quiet life?
Yeah, I think I do agree with that. And I think, the quiet life has really ever appealed that much. And I think if you are doing work that has wider benefit, then why not put it to work? And I think I suppose my background and where I've come from and what I've done in my professional life, working in large corporates, large PLCs and large PE-backed businesses, you know, I've seen a lot of stuff that just is no good. And I think people just need to be held to account more. And this is a way for me to do that. And I think that it's long overdue that more people like that exist in the market. If you look at the Boohoo situation. If Shadowfall hadn't released that report, would there be so much scrutiny around that company today? That is something for the public benefit.
I have to say, Shadowfall is a very cool name. It sounds very, very good indeed.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that actually it would have been rather more useful on, say, something like Wirecard, if they'd done that. But Wirecard, I suppose, was very well flagged. So I suppose you're part of that, really. The more scandals that we have, and in the bigger area, going into the smaller area as well, and unearthing issues there. But
the point of the microcap sector is to stop the bleeding before it becomes too crucial and gets to a point where there are too many casualties. I suppose that would be the benefit. Yeah, but Zach, is it all right? We just mentioned a couple of points on Elixirsoft.
Yeah, go ahead.
So just to date, I haven't received a formal response from the company. The only discussion surrounding my report has been from Paul Hill of Equity Development, who spoke with Justin Waite on the Box Markets podcast. The only feedback that they've given is that they've defamed my character and basically called into question why anyone should listen to me without discussing the content of my report, which, you know, take that as you will. The only action from the company so far is to submit the accounts that I pointed out in my report were overdue and not submitted. So the company is clearly taking a defensive view to my report, and you know, I encourage them to be transparent and respond to the points that shareholders have a right to understand where these shortcomings have, why these things exist and why these things are going wrong. To not file accounts in three jurisdictions and for Grant Thornton to sign the accounts off the following year just strikes me as slightly strange and peculiar. It's something that retail shareholders should have better information and deserve answers to.
Okay, well, we'll see how that particular situation pans out. Dexter Burt from CypherSense Research, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks very much, Zach.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.